Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anarto Pasamam Sakshad. Bhakti Yogam Madoksha J. Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakre Satvita Samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. Purport: Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests that the complete unit of the personality of Godhead includes his parts and parcels also. He saw therefore his different energies, namely the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. He also saw his different plenary portions and parts of plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also. And he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere effort of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the absolute truth. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Brooklyn. I guess I should say a little something first about the Ratha Yatra. Exhausting in a way. For me, it's not physical exhaustion, it's a mental exhaustion. Just a whole different regulation being out there all day. And then today also there'll be a program. Okay, nothing. There's been a change in management at the Brooklyn Temple. It seems like a substantial improvement. It was wonderful. It was really, I think, it's the most devotees that ever attended. It was incredibly well organized. And I think a key to that, and I think this is just a practical point, I do want to get into these very important verses, is empowerment. You know, devotional service, the first principle of devotional service is empowerment. I've always given this definition, is empowerment means to recognize a person's abilities, what they have to offer, then encourage that, then facilitate that. And then you make broad parameters by which the person can work in a greater social context. And that's kind of a very important thing to me. It's basically, I think, one way in Prabhupada engaged me is to try to empower people. And a lot of times, people who are talented, they sometimes, if the management is not, the leadership is not good. Ironically, the people, a lot of people who can offer the most get to offer the least because they want to take initiative. And if the management doesn't have that perspective of good leadership, then all they hear about is not the what they have to offer, or the and what to speak of encouraging, what to speak of facilitating. They just hear about the social context. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. So I see the management was very empowering and encouraging, and therefore so many substantial things could be done. It was just amazing. Everybody that was coming, they got an envelope. So I took a look at what one of the envelopes was. This was Pancharatna Prabhu and Atita Guna, his wife. And it's such a man. Everybody that came to the Rath Yatra, you know, guests, they got this envelope. And in the envelope, I didn't see all of it because I looked quickly, but, you know, there was these beautiful professional, almost looked like bookmarks, but for chant now, something where people can learn about chanting. I saw one said, get one book free, you know, free prasadam, sticker, reservoir pleasure, etc. That's just one example. So I don't know. It just seemed that this may almost be a significant turning point in the Krishna consciousness movement because of the degree of unity and empowerment that was there. We saw that devotee running for president, Tulsi Gabbard. She was there. She led this kirtan. And just seeing so many senior devotees that were there at the festival, and plenty of prasadam and good hospitality, and in general, it was very, very impressive. And who was I talking to that I said wasn't easily impressed but was impressed? Let me just think for a second. I can't think. Memory has a lot to do with modes. That's one thing I realize about class. Usually, when I give class, I've already been up since 1 or 2 o'clock, chanting a lot, etc. This schedule throws you off. I just wish I could remember, because the person who wasn't impressed was impressed. Anyway, after this, I'll go down there too for the 12-hour kirtan. So I'll put this in context again. And hopefully every time I put it in context, because I'm lecturing on the same thing, the context I put it in, I'll express it in a more brief way. But the context is that the Sutta Goswami is answering the sages of Naimisharanya's context about the history of the Bhagavatam, which they understood something about, because when the Bhagavatam was initially spoken, the three times that it described here, it's Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Sukadev to Maharaj Prickett, and then the sages of Namasharanya, Sutta to the sage of Namasharanya, is very much in proximity, and historically very, very close together. So when Sutta, in answering their questions of where will knowledge and religion presently be maintained when Krishna left the planet, the answer was the Bhagavatam. He told the sages Naimisharanya. He said he heard it and realized, and I'll explain it to you. Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. They were very enthusiastic, and it's a grammatical fault, an editorial fault when something is repeated twice, unless it indicates great enthusiasm. And what can be a greater blessing than to hear the truth from someone who has realized, which means he has the ability to communicate it to you? The truth shall set you free, and you're going to get it. So they evidently, not like today with internet, etc., just by, people moving from place to place and knowledge being transmitted in that way, and people having higher capacity for memory, they somehow heard about it, and they asked about three times in which it was, well, it's Vyas to Sukadev, and Sukadev to Maharaj Prickett, and Narada to Vyas. So actually, it's Vyas to Sukadev, and Sukadev to then Sukadev to Prickett, and Vyas to Narada to Vyas. So that story was told first, and it's being completed now. Because after Narada left, after he kind of enlightened Vyasadeva that the reason he wasn't satisfied, because he hasn't sufficiently glorified Krishna, this is actually the message of the Bhagavatam itself, and this itself is the message of our life. We haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. If you have any problem, this is the solution. It's even the solution to death. You have a problem with death, it's because you haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. You have a problem with life, it's because you haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. So he made his point very strong, and then he left. And then Narada, then because this is being related by Sutta to the sage of Namasharanya, then the sage of Namasharanya naturally asked the question, what did he do? And that's what's being described here. What's being described here is what he did. And we mentioned that point. I won't belabor points that I made before, even though all of you haven't been in this series of lectures, but I can just briefly mention it because a lot of people have been hearing regularly. What did he do? Badarayana. His ashram was trees, but Badari trees. And he went there to meditate. And write the Bhagavatam, not just by the intellect, but by devotion, having it revealed to him. And then using his editorial skills, then explaining it very, very lucidly. Ashrama. Ah means complete, shrama means to meditate. He went to a place where he could completely meditate. Paid his obeisances, was chanting the holy name, perhaps he was reading scriptures. You can imagine that task. Because already he knew the Vedas, so really what was the task? What was the task? The task was to present the Vedas in a contemporary way so the people of the age that he was presenting the Vedas could be enlightened. So that's what he was doing. And how did he do it? Well, he already had studied the Vedas and it was based on the Vedas. So now he had to meditate in devotion, in a devotional mood. Meditation in bhakti is not just a mechanical process. It's the mood in which you do it. Even chanting, it's not just being attentive. It's being attentive in a particular way. Not, it's mentioned here, not mechanically. In a prayerful way. That's why Ishvara Pranidhava, objects of meditation in the Yoga Sutra says, or you can surrender to God. That was the meditational process, surrender to God. So it means you're focusing your mind in a particular offering of yourself. And the Dhammi Pratidhammi Tesham Satatiyuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, the Dhammi Buddhi of Yedama. That Krishna will give the knowledge. So we have this scene of Vyasadeva sitting in his forest ashram. He just took bath right after Narada left. He took the order of his spiritual master's life and soul. He didn't put it off. He immediately took this because the moment was right. And then doing that, Krishna in his heart reciprocated with him by giving him a clear vision of the absolute truth, a realized vision of the absolute truth. Because it's not just understanding, it's realizing. It means actually an epiphany of seeing the absolute truth. He saw reality. And within the reality he saw the problem that he had to solve, and he also saw the solution to that problem because he was already told by his guru what the problem was. You haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. He also told him what the solution was to sufficiently glorify Krishna. So he went into this meditation and he began to write, and then he saw. And I'll just repeat that key verse one time. And I am just summing up in a brief way. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak praniyate male. Without distraction. Mal means distraction or dirt. But what is dirt is distraction. without distraction. Even his ordinary activities, managing the ashram, teaching his students, nothing. Without any distraction. Samyak Praniyate, completely. And that's when you get realization. I can't make this point enough time. That realization comes when you do this. Samyak Praniyate Male. Without distraction, completely focused. Concentrated over a period of time, without distraction, without break, in the right mood. These are the four aspects of meditation in devotion, which gives you realization by the reciprocation of Krishna. As Prabhupada says in the purport, when the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving service. So what's happening is he's going to write about what he saw. And in writing about what he saw, it's going to enable him to write about the process to see it, because he wouldn't see it unless he did the right thing to do so. So he actually saw it. He understood it. And that is giving him the ability to actually communicate it, to change its form without losing its essence. And what he saw in that meditation, apashyat purusham purnam, mayachitara pasayam, he saw God. And basically, this is basically what he saw is he saw Sambandh again, he saw Abhideya again, he saw Piyojan again. Because what is Sambandh again? It's reality. What is Abhideya again? It's the means to realize reality. What is Piyojan again? It is the result of doing so, which is the goal. And what is the result of seeing reality? It's feeling reality. And what is feeling reality? Feeling our connection to reality. And what is feeling our connection to reality? Our relationship with reality. As God's servant. So he saw this, and now he had to write this. He had to write what he saw. And who was he writing it for? Lokasya Ajanita. For those, the general mass of people who don't know this. Sometimes it says you can't see the forest through the trees. Sometimes things are so simple that we don't see them. I quote Bori Jumperu a lot because he has so many realizations. And he ironically once said, he studied, I mean, he's writing a commentary in the Bhagavatam. He said, I studied the Bhagavatam for 40 years and then came to the conclusion that the essence of spiritual life is surrender to Guru and Krishna. The simple things you sometimes miss. So he saw that. And now he was particularly empowered as an editor to actually shape that message without losing its essence and shape it to the language and form of the people who are speaking to you. Someone should, they use the expression, he talks to me. It's not just words, it's meaning. When you say someone talks to you, it means they are talking in a way in which you can understand. Not just the language that you understand, but the way you understand it. So he saw this relation. He saw Sambandh again because he saw God and he saw the relationship of God to his energies, that the energies is under God. And he saw the living entity. And he saw the living entity's relationship to God and God's energy, that he's under and subordinate to those energies. So he saw God's relationship to those energies, that he's transcendent to those energies, and that they don't control him. He controls them. So he saw this, and then he saw that the living entity was under God's control too. And that was the problem of the living entity. It was this misidentification with the body and therefore suffering the transformations of the body. We mentioned this before, vikara, transformation, it happens in matter. But when you are identifying with the body, then you suffer those transformations as if they were happening to you. And the illusion is so powerful. It's like a nightmare where you feel the fear and pain, even though it's not actually happening. You're only thinking it's happening. It's a very heavy point. So he saw this energy, and then he understood why this energy, why the living entity was connected to this energy. And I think I explained this many times, because the living entity did not want to become a devotee. He did not want to become what he is, and therefore that desire can only be fulfilled in illusion. And who fulfills those desires? Ekahubunam, oh, what is that? Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Ekobuhunam Yobidada. The one satisfies the many. He satisfied. It's all about satisfying our desire to not be a devotee. That's what the material world is about. That is the driving force. In the questions by Maharaj Cricket in the second canto, eight chapter, the question is, you know, how did the living entity come to this world or something? And the answer was, the first desire was of the living entity. The subsequent desire is the Lord. The living entity wants, then because of that, not wanting to be a devotee, the Lord fulfills his desire. And that's what the material world is about. And therefore, the solution is so simple. When you want to find a solution to a disease, you find out the cause of the disease, and then you just reverse it. So what's the cause of the disease? That we don't want to be devotees. So what's the solution to that problem? To become devotees. And how do you become devotees? You become devotees by hearing about Krishna. And it's a reasonable conception. It develops faith in that way, but it's also reality that you connect with. And then you start feeling that energy from your heart of the desire to serve. In other words, what the Bhagavatam does, it attracts you to Krishna and therefore attracts you to embrace who you are, which is a devotee of Krishna. And what does a devotee mean? A devotee means one who has priti. This term priti, I explained this many times, is very important. Priti is the goal. What's the goal? Priti means when your happiness is the enjoyment of another. I was speaking to one lady at Rathiatra, very new, and I'm not sure who I was speaking to, but I explained this concept. I said, just like your husband I remember who I was explaining it to, but the husband couldn't go and the wife was there. So I said, what real love would be is if the husband got more pleasure from the wife enjoying Rathiatra than being there themselves. You can see why. It's hard to find pure love in the material world. That's priti. That's what priti means. But when you apply the term to God, it means that your happiness is the pleasure of God. That's the goal. And that's our position. Now, here it mentions, therefore, what are our problems? It says our problems are anartha. Artha means value, those things which have no value. But here it uses the term superfluous. The material miseries are superfluous. They're not really happening in the soul. They're things that are not wanted, and this can be upashamyam, mitigated by what? Sakshat bhakti yogena. Bhakti yogena adoksaji. It can be mitigated by devotional service. And devotional service is a very, very simple process. It deals with worship. And what worship literally means is to focus your consciousness on God. Because that's how we serve God. We serve God with by love. And love means to be attentive, to give yourself. So this is worship. And when you worship and you give your consciousness to God, it's just so natural to feel that love of God. And I always give the example, you know, a mother and the child, as soon as a child is born, there's this energy. There's this energy of love. And that energy of love makes you want to serve your beloved. So that's what happens in bhakti yoga. And I was mentioned the people I met at Union Square, one of them, the friend I knew, and they became devotees. And from Wednesday on, they read all the activities, Thursday night kirtan, this, that. And you can see the feelings in their hearts from that connection with God. They talk in a sentimental way about energy, but actually it is an energy. Love is an energy. How else are you going to explain it? It's not just an intellectual concept. It's something you feel in relationship to another person that makes you want to serve them, where you develop that priti. That's what makes me happy when this person is pleased. Like a mother for a child, her only joy is the child's eating. I know families, somebody was telling me, mother had a lot of children, and she would cook, and then all the food would be kind of gone, and they would say, Mom, but you didn't have yet. She said, oh, I'm not hungry. But then afterwards, they realized that she said that out of love. They said that out of love. So, learned Vyasadeva. And with these three verses, we described that before, 6, 5, 6, 7. It describes the purpose of the Bhagavatam. It impregnates, just like a man impregnates a woman when the seed is there with the egg, something is going to grow. And that's what happens by hearing. This is the process of self-realization by Vyasadeva, the editor. And when you hear that message, it awakens within your heart oh, it's 5, 6, It awakens within your heart devotion or the desire to be what you are, which is a devotee of Krishna. So I'm just going to read these verses again because this describes the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the modes, thinks himself a material product and thus undergoes the reaction of the material misery. He sees this problem. The living entity is under the modes. And what are the modes of nature? The modes of nature are the way in which God enables us to enjoy separate from him in the material world. Although by goodness we can attain transcendence. And basically, just like there are three primary colors, when those colors mix together, they can produce unlimited colors. So what the modes of nature are, there's subtle strands of matter that allow you to conduct various activities for enjoyment. The mode of ignorance allows you to conduct the activity of lethargy and sleep. People like to sleep for enjoyment. Passion, intense activity, and goodness allows you to conduct enlightened thought and peacefulness. So what the modes of nature are is once the, by the illusory energy, one is focused on the body, then according to your karma and desire, the body transforms into these different mixtures of experience of material happiness and not being a devotee. That's the way the modes of material nature work. And that's why we say that you want to advance. You got to be free from the modes of nature. So what does it mean, free from the modes of nature? That you are not affected by the modes of nature when you want to serve. Because service comes under the internal potency, not the external potency. So then today's verse, and the material miseries of living entity, which is superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by, now he gives the solution. By devotion, they can be mitigated. Because it uproots the cause of material existence. The cause of material existence is just consciousness. Change your consciousness, you transcend the material condition. Because it's only your consciousness to be in the enjoyer and controller that God responds to enable us to have a situation, an identity that corresponds with our desires. So you want to enjoy and control, there's an identity and an energy that puts you in the illusion that you are this energy at different modes. And they mix in different ways to give you a different experience. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. All focused on our desire. So our spiritual life is changing that desire from the enjoying controller to the servant of Krishna. And it happens, and this is what the Bhagavatam's saying. Therefore, he compiled this Vedic literature. Samhitam, very nice term for Vedic literature, Samhitam. Hitam means welfare, Samhitam means complete welfare. So it means Vedic literature give you complete welfare. And the essence of the Vedic literature is the Bhagavatam. You hear it, you will change. That's the process. It's very, very powerful because it gives you an understanding and a feeling at the same time. It gives you an understanding of the truth, and then it allows you to experience the truth directly. Text 7. Yasyam vaishu yamanayam krishne paramapurushe vaktir upatyate pumsam shokamoha bayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, a feeling for devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Soka moha boya. Soka is lamentation. It's the unhappiness we feel by things that happened in the past. Boya is the unhappiness we will feel by things that are happening in the future. And even if they're not happening to us now, we suffer them by the mind. So we're suffering the past and we're suffering the future. Now, interesting what happens is it's soka moya, illusion is in the middle. So illusion is what causes this fear, and illusion what is eradicates that lamentation. So if we can overcome that illusion, then we solve the problem. And that's why Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas, because people are suffering. There's no other reason for Vyasadeva to write the Vedas other than people are suffering. And therefore, what is the remedial measure? So now he's got this. This is so dynamic because this is the whole revelation he got from Narada Muni, the whole revelation. Your job was to edit the Vedas so that people can get liberated and enlightened. And he gave him a hint that you really haven't understood it deeply. Haven't understood it deeply. If you understood it deeply, you would understand that this is how people would be enlightened. And here it's interesting too. It says the Supreme Personality of God and specifically mentions Krishna. The first verse mentioned apashat purusham purnam. Second verse mentioned adhokshajay, transcendental. But this specifically gives the identity that it's to Krishna. So simply by giving oral reception to this, a feeling for devotional service, a desire in your heart, and a desire that is commensurate with your soul. Sometimes I do meditation classes, and I can show that to people, that once they start to chant and chant, there's some feelings in their hearts of devotion and gratitude and compassion and humility. There's feelings that are commensurate with the soul, which is consciousness, which reaches its fruition in devotion. So there are feelings, there are certain feelings that are that can be connected to the soul, especially the desire to serve. And it's a faith, and a faith is a trust, a deep trust in something. So it's a deep faith that this is me. It feels right, like a fish in water. He realizes this is where I belong. You belong where there's no suffering. Dukkha layam ashashvatam. How does Krishna criticize the world? Dukkha-layam. Layam means to reside. Layam means almost like a prison where you're captured with no escape. This world is Dukkha-layam. It's a world which captures you in misery, because all material pleasures are with duality, like family life. There's some happiness, but there's some distress. Sannyas, there's happiness and distress. And any occupation is happiness and distress. And unfortunately, the distress is felt so much more than the happiness. I quoted that many times, that a pinch of pain is felt more than a ton of happiness. So it's Dukkha-layam. And this is what sprouts up to extinguish that. To extinguish the material existence. When we say in Shikshastakam Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapana. Bhava Maha Devagni. The material world is like a great fire. Bhava is the material world. It's a fire. Like a great Mahadvagni. It's a great fire. Because in a fire, you can't do anything to stop it. A great forest fire cannot be stopped by any mechanical means. It can only be stopped by the mercy of God if he sends rain. And things can't escape from a great fire. So it's described in devotional service. It's very much like the material world is like that. And then I've told the story before about the disciple who wanted to please his guru, but his guru was a little bit angry nature. So he was supposed to go get the wood for the sacrificial fire every morning for the yajna, because that's what their process was. But it was damp. There was dew, and he couldn't find the wood that was dry. And he came back. He said, Gurudev, I can't find any wood. And the Gurudev said, go to hell. And he was so sincere, he went to hell. But what did he see in hell? He saw everybody burning. So he said, well, my Guru Maharaj is a genius. He sent me exactly to the place where I can do my service. So he asked Yamaraj, can I have some fire? And Yamaraj said, there's no fire here. He said, what do you mean there's no fire here? He said, look. Oh, he said, they brought their own fire. So we brought the fire of material existence on us by not living in the soul. Not living in the soul. Okay, are there any questions? I've gone a little while. Anybody like to ask any questions, just say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Gail here.
Okay, thank you, Gail. I'm too
yeah, can
tired.
Can I ask one question?
I'm going to reserve it for another time. You can call me during the week. It's just so many things going on. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Betty.
Betty, thank you. Great to see you yesterday. You'll come.
Yes,
I don't
you.
Think you'll. I don't think you'll come to the Brooklyn Temple again today.
No, I don't think so either.
It's hard. I'm a sannyasi and I don't have any job during the week, and I'm pretty exhausted. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gemara Tarrada from Argentina.
Wow. You know, I met the nicest lady from Argentina in Union Square Park. And I met her there. She sat down and chanted. And then she went to every program. For the whole weekend. And now she's become a devotee. Yes. Okay, Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, a few more people, just to give the voices of our community.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, who else?
Gloria.
Hi.
Who was that last one?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Gloria from Colombia.
Oh, Gloria, thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Janine.
Janine, okay. Some other people say hello.
Hare Krishna
Maharaj, Shri Gandharika. Shri Gandharika, Haribo. Good. I'll still get back to you on that schedule. Okay. Who else?
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kishori Radha.
Okay. Someone's making noise. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bajrade.
Bajrade, Haribo.
Hare Krishna.
Good. A few more. Okay, I guess we're going to end for today. I'm just Hare Krishna. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.